This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled, The Value of Time, Pastor Scott encourages us to take full advantage of our brief lifetime to carry out the Great Commission. This message was recorded on Sunday, August 28, 2016. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Well, good morning, New Hope. It is so nice to see all of you here. Beautiful day. We had some heavy downpours this week, and we tried to stay dry. Came humid. You know, you come out of the supermarkets and your glasses fog up. You ever have that problem with those of you who wear glasses? Or else, you know, you come out of the car, and you know, because you get your air conditioning on and your glasses fog up. And oh, I'm so thankful that we have a church office with an air conditioning. And if you ever need to come out of the heat and hang out, just give me a call. You can come hang out in my office with me, and we can have a conversation. But it's so good to be here, to be a part of this fellowship. I enjoy your company. Good morning, Becky. It's so good to have you back. It's been a while. You're looking good. We're praying for you. Yeah, and wow, we have so many friends here that I just love to hang out with. And all of you are just, I look at you and I see God's great work in each and every one of you. Man, that's good. We're going to talk about the value of time. And I tell you, somebody who ever said that the older you get, the faster time goes by, they must have been old. Yeah? I mean, I hardly get through the weekend. The next thing you know, it's like Friday. And it's like, wow. Okay. And the weeks, you know, the days, the seconds, you know, everything just blends and it's like a blur. I mean, this is what it's like. Sunday, we come to church, we do the message, we hang out afterwards, we fellowship, we eat, we clean up, go home, we either relax or I get to work and I do something. Monday, I go into the office, I do the deposits and do some studies and whatever I can get done, visit some people. One of my favorite things on Monday is going to see Tom at KTA because he's always cooking. So if you ever go there Monday morning between 10 and 11:30, go see Tom. He's the guy making all the beautiful smells over there. And I just love going to hang out with him because the bank is right there. So I do the deposit and we share a Coke together. And it's wonderful. And those times that we get to hang out is so precious, so valuable. Sunday mornings, we come here at 5:30, we set up, we hang out, and the time is just so valuable. And I love the fact that we get to do this. But time is going by really, really quickly. Sometimes the things that we plan to do, we never get to do. And the people that we wanted to share with, we never got to share with, and they either died or moved away. You know, this past year with the passing of my dad and the passing of Uncle Yuki made me think a lot about church and our mission. And are we as a fellowship doing the things that God called us to do, the thing God wants us to do? You know, and like everybody else, we were all expecting Uncle Yuki to return. But I think the only person knew that he wasn't going to return was himself. And he turned in his keys, and I told him, hang on to it. He said, no, just take this. And he wrote some stuff down, so he knew he was going, I think he knew he was going home. His time had run out. You know, I watch the TV news, and I see crimes, and I see murders, and I look at that like, wow, some of them happen in Paradise Park, and that's like my backyard. And I'm thinking like, wow, what is going on here? And I'm thinking, like, is the church, are we being effective? Are we reaching who we need to reach? Are we doing what we need to do? Are we reaching our neighbors? Are we loving our neighbors? Are we inviting people to come and join us to hear about hope? And that's one of the reasons we're doing this movie night, because it's an opportunity for you to invite your family and your friends to a family-friendly movie night. This is not going to be a movie where there's blood and guts and explosions and, you know, sorry guys, but this is what it is. We're going to have to watch these kinds of movies, right, every so often. And this movie is really good. I did preview it because I need to preview it before I show it to you. But, man, it was really good. I nearly cried. Well, I can tell you the truth. I did cry, okay? Cannot lie in church, right? Yeah, and so that's one of the reasons we're doing this, because it's like you're not inviting them to come to hear church and a preacher preach, but you're inviting them to come see a movie. And it's a really good movie. And it's a good message. So that's why, because we want to give you the tools so that you can invite your family and friends to come, because who wouldn't want to go see a movie, right? In Ephesians 5, 15 to 17, Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus, and he writes this, and this scripture is just really powerful, common sense. It says, therefore, be careful how you walk. Not like you just walk. You know, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, these days, it seems like the days are evil, and it's getting worse and worse. I mean, when it comes to our presidential race, man, I don't know who to vote for. I'm scared of both of them. I'm just like, man, I think we really, really, really need to be praying for our country. Amen? I mean, sometimes it seems like it's getting worse and worse. And maybe we, as the church, have lost our sense of urgency. We have lost that passion, that love for somebody who's lost and dying. Because there is a whole bunch of them out there who are lost, who are dying, and who have no hope. And we need to go and reach them. Amen? We need to have that heart of compassion, and we need to have that sense of urgency. My old boss once told me, and it really stuck with me, there are three types of people in this world. And he said, because he was talking about, he was making fun of me. He said, three types of people in this world. People who make things happen. That wasn't me. People who wait for things to happen. That wasn't me. People who wonder, wow, what happened? That was me! And that's what he was trying to get across to me. He's like, he would, Shiroma, and he would always do this to me. And which one are you? And I was the guy who was like, wow, what just happened? You know? And I would show up in church and nobody would be here, and I'd be like, wow, what happened? What did I say? And then I've learned over the years that, man, you cannot just sit back and wait for people to save themselves. You cannot. So I learned that, man, I gotta go and, you know, make things happen, not by forcing people, but by depending on God with the power of the Holy Spirit, have that sense of urgency and go. Go and talk to people. You know, I used to say, well, I love to share with people, Lord, just bring them my way. Bring them, and I'll preach. Bring them to me, and I'll share the good news with them. Wow, the Bible says, go and make disciples. Not wait. Lord, I'm so patient. I am waiting. Please bring me someone to share with. I am being so patient. I've waited for 5 years. Nobody came, so I haven't shared. My Bible says, go. I can see my boss now going like this to me. I mean, I wish he was in this church, because I would tell him the same thing. Go and make disciples. You know, the older I get, I realize that the time is running out. You know, and it's like time is not on our side, because people are dying. I mean, just last week, Tuesday, Brother Sean, he used to sing worship with us. Remember Sean, Big Sean? But he went home to be with the Lord. And he is the same age as me. And I was like, wow. Time is not on our side. And people are dying every day without being saved. And you know what is the saddest thing? When I hear of somebody committing suicide, and it breaks my heart, and I just wish I had 5 minutes with them to share the hope that I have in my heart for an eternity with God. James 4:14 says, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes away. You know, James tells us our life is like a vapor, soon vanish. I mean, we can make plans, but we're not promised tomorrow. I mean, we need to go and get people safe, because that's what God called us to do. Psalms 39:4, Lord, make me to know my end and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am. Behold, you have made my days as a handbreadth, and my life as nothing in your sight. Surely every man at his best is a mere breath. Man, compared to eternity, this life is so short, and there's so much to do. And as we read Psalms 39, we read how brief life is. What are you doing? How will you use your life for the Lord? Here it is, number one. You got to remember our commission. Matthew 28:19. Would you underline that word, go? You guys know what go means? Go means, does it mean stop? Does it mean wait? Does it mean be patient? It means when the light is green, what do you do? And when they're in front of you and they don't go, what do? Beep your horn, right? How many of you do that? Only me and Kimo. The rest of you lie. Oh, Larry, yeah. Wait till I'm in front of you. I'm going to try to do that and see if you beep your horn. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus was telling his disciples, go. With authority. Go, because the harvest field is ripe. Go. Make disciples. Man, our harvest field. Where is our harvest field? Man, that's our neighborhoods, our workplaces, wherever you go. Wherever I go and wherever I find people. I mean, I was sitting. Okay, this is what happened Monday. I went to go see Tom. I see Tom. In the process of seeing Tom, I see Grant. In the process of seeing Grant, I see Steve. And we're sitting down talking, and then my friend Russell walks past. And Russell doesn't come to church. Russell and I used to drink together many, many years ago. And every time I see Russell, I invite him to church. And he says, no. To Russell, I need somebody like you in church. I need one guy like you because, you know, he's a worker. He would go and he would do things. We just got to get him saved. And everywhere I go and I run into Russells, because I used to go out with a lot of Russells and we used to go all over town and hang out together and do not good things. And I'm trying to repent and I'm trying to reach all the guys that I helped corrupt. That is really hard work. That is. I mean, and, you know, I try to, and I realize that, man, right in front of KTA by Tom is a good place to hang out because I see so much people. I could sit there all day, and I bet you I could invite 100 people to church. And I don't know, maybe one might show up, but that's not up to me, right? That's up to God. All I got to do is plant the seed. Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world." Some of you may look in the mirror and say, "Wow, I'm not so bright." But you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine. You know, sometimes we try to force things upon people by preaching. Well, it doesn't say you have to preach, but let your light shine. Let people see your good works. And when they ask you why, then give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Amen? You know, Jesus was trying to tell these people by illustration. And here he was talking about salt and light. Starting in 5:13, he talks about salt. And then in 14 to 16, he talks about light. And, you know, that's why one of my favorite songs is "Make Me Salt, Make Me Light." Man, salt, salt just makes everything taste so much better. Doesn't it? But if too much salt, then, well, it's bad for you. And it's like shining the light. You shine the light to show the way. That's a great thing. You shine the light and you blind somebody, they trip and fall. That's bad. But you got to understand how you use salt and light. Right? Salt is meant to preserve and to make things taste better. And light is made to show the way. So we need to be salt and light. And Jesus gave us our commission. Go and make disciples. Go and be the salt and the light. I always like to measure my time with people as this. If somebody hung out with me for 10 minutes, when they left my presence, are they better or they're worse? Are they walking away feeling, "Oh, I feel so crummy and condemned. Pastor Scott said, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you need to repent, you need to give 10% of all your income, you need to do this, you need to do that." And it's like, "I feel so crummy now." Or are they like, "Wow, I feel encouraged. You know, he said this, he said that." And I like to measure my time with people like that. Because I really hate for people to leave my company worse off when I found them. That would be pretty lousy, yeah? Have you been with some of those people who you hang around and all they do is whine and complain? And it's like, man, next time you see them, bro, you turn and you go down the other aisle. Hey, whoa, am I going down there? Then you look the next aisle, okay, it's clear. I can go down this aisle. Then you see them come, "Oh, turn around." You know, that's what it is, man. When you're in the supermarket and you got 12-pack in your wagon and you see me coming, I see you book the other way. Man, that's okay. I'm not going to rag on you because you get 12-pack in your wagon. It is what it is. You know what I mean? Yeah, so we got to remember our commission. We get to make people better. We get to give them hope. We get to point them the way to eternal life. Isn't that great? And I always want to imagine who would be in heaven because of what I did. You know, and I think like, wow. And then number two, man, we are accountable. We are accountable. Romans 14:12. "So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God." Oh, sometimes that scares me. Everyone shall give an account of himself. See, when we stand before God, he's not going to say, "Okay, what your wife did. He's going to say, what you did? He's not going to look at you and say, oh, what did Pastor Scott tell you? He's going to know, what did you do? You're going to have to give an account for yourself, not nobody else. Everyone got to give an account. Matthew 16, Jesus says this, for the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Repay every man according to his deeds. I hope your pay is good and not bad. You know, everyone will be given, will have to give an account. I mean, if you think about it, if you had to stand before God and tell him what you did, and if he tell you, Scott, I gave you the gift of music. What did you do with it? Oh, I didn't want to sing because I'm shy. You know, or I don't know what gift. Oh, he gave me the gift of helps, I think. I love to help people. And he said, what if I sent you somebody and I was too busy doing church work that I never helped somebody? I mean, if you had to stand before God now, would you be like your head down like, oh, man, I didn't do much with what I had? Of course, I want my head be down in humility and humbleness. But yet I want to be able to say, Lord, I did the best with what I got. You know, I did what I could do. You know, when I was in school and I would go to class and I realized that I didn't do my homework again, man, what a terrible feeling standing before the teacher knowing that you didn't do your homework again, and you would have to answer to the teacher for not doing your homework again. And when I did do my homework, I always wished, like, oh, I wish I took the time and I did a better job. Would it be like that before God? Would you stand before God like, oh, I wish I took that extra 10 steps across the street to go love my neighbor before they died? I wish I shared my faith with my coworker. Or will it be like, oh, Lord, I tried, I shared, but they didn't receive, and that's on them? Will you be able to stand before God with joy? Or will you be able to stand before God like, oh, I wish I did. Yeah, and that'll be too late. And I don't want you to stand before God and be ashamed of what you have done here on earth. I want to try and equip you so that you would be able to stand before God and say, I did my best. And I believe that each one of us here, we would want to see our community change for the better. We would want to see crime reduce. Suicide would be a thing of the past. I believe that's what we would want. And in our own way, you know, we can take the gospel, the good news, to our family and friends. I mean, it's not that hard. I struggled with this as a young Christian. How do I share Jesus with others without being, you know, without being harsh, or because I'm not a real smooth talker. I'm not. It's like sometimes when sharing Jesus, I actually felt like sandpaper, really rough and raw. I mean, I didn't know any other way but to say, "Do you want to know Jesus?" And I'm thinking, like, well, that's kind of rough, but you understand? Do you want to know Jesus? How many of you can understand that simple word? Do you want to know Jesus? You're either going to say yes or no. And if they say yes, great. If they say no, well, God bless you and thank you. And yeah. How many of you need help leading somebody to Jesus? Be honest. How many of you would raise your hand? I want to see. Because maybe we need to do something, a sermon or something. Raise your hand high. No shame. Oh, wow. Okay. You know, that'd be a great sermon topic. And maybe we can role play leading somebody to Jesus. Because I think we all could use help in that. And I think the more you do it, the better it gets. But I think the one thing you understand is that when you realize the importance therein lies in leading somebody to Jesus, because it may not be really a big deal to you, but you think about the person on the other end. It's their eternity that is lying in check, in limbo, and they're not sure. It's like, man, if you would just be bold enough to would you like to know Jesus? They say yes. You know that prayer we do at the end of service? I bet you guys remember that by heart. I do that the same way every time for a reason, so that you would know that without even having to think. Because I pray that same prayer every time when we ask for salvation. I do that so that you would know it in your heart, because we repeat it every week and I ask you to repeat after me. And that's what it is. So maybe we'll be trying to do that, and I'll be leading you and trying to explain to you how we can share Jesus better. Man, when you share Jesus, you're getting your light and you're putting it on a stand. You're not hiding it under a basket. Because you put a light under a basket and it is no use at all. I mean, some people say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but you know, I'm a closet Christian. You ever heard that? Man, they're just hiding their light in a closet. What good is that? Sad to say, really no good. We can present Jesus in such a way that people would want him in our lives. You know, family and friends, you know, time is not on our side. Time is running out for many people. And I just want to help you reach the lost. Some will not repent. That's up to them. But on our part, we need to be obedient and share. And that's all we are required to do. We're not required to force an outcome. That is up to God. You share, then that seed is planted. The ball is in God's court. It's up to him now to grow that seed, to help that person repent. Someone came in my office one time, this older gentleman, and he said, hey, we should change the name of your church to No Hope. Before I wound up and punched him. No, I did not do that. I didn't. I opened my mouth ready to lash back. Wait. Before you say something else, listen to me. We should change your church to No Hope. K-N-O-W. I'm like, oh, okay. That's better. So my goal is for us to go out and help people to know hope. Right? Not N-O, but K-N-O-W. Funny, yeah? Two words sound the same, but mean totally opposite. No hope. Amen? I want to ask the worship team to come up, and we're going to close, and we're going to ask people if they want to ask Jesus to be the Lord of their life. And then I'm going to ask you to pray with me, all of you, so that you would know this prayer, and that's how you would pray with somebody to lead them to Christ. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? Anybody out there? Right. Oh, thank you, Lord. We pray for each and every one of us here that we would value the time that we have here and that we would have a sense of urgency, knowing that you have commissioned each one of us to go and make disciples, to go and preach the good news, to go and let our light shine before men, to go and be the salt of the earth. So, Lord, I pray that whoever you may put on our minds, our hearts, in our paths, that we would understand that these are divine appointments created by you for us to share your love with anyone who comes on in our path, Lord. To share, not to shove, but to share your love, either by words or by actions, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent to save us. So we thank you, Lord, and we pray that you would give us opportunity to share the good news. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16675 Milo Street, Keaau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.